Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Sunday, December 25th, 2016.
Merry Christmas. I've been thinking about a passage of Scripture that I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you. It's been on my heart for, 2 weeks. I've just been thinking about and pondering it. And then I even read a commentary, R. Kent Hughes, and it just further stirred my heart. So I'm going to share with you some of these thoughts. But Luke chapter 1, you're welcome to look on. I know we've got the lights off this morning. Being a Christmas service, we figured we'd leave the lights off so you could enjoy the Christmas lights. But if you can read the Scripture with me, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 is where I want to just share with you a few thoughts. Encourage you this Christmas. And then when I'm done, we're going to watch another video and we'll sing a couple more Christmas songs together. But Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." You know, I was reading these verses and just considering the worship of this young teenage gal, just a remarkable, her heart. You just hear her heart overflowing in worship. And if you remember, some of you know the Bible very well, many of you do, you remember the context of what's going on here, or I can remind you. But just previous to this, this young teenage gal had an angel appear to her, the angel Gabriel, who said the most remarkable thing to her, and that is that she would become pregnant supernaturally without a man. Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and she would become pregnant, and that she would, as you read what the angel said to her in Luke chapter 1, she would give birth to the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, verse 42, "Blessed are you among women," is what Elizabeth said to her, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." Elizabeth saying that to her, and then the angel saying to her earlier, "You'll name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You know, she had this remarkable announcement given to her. Then she goes to see, it says, soon after her relative Elizabeth, who's also, by God's grace, this older woman was not able to get pregnant, and God touched her womb, and now her and her husband are having a child, and she's pregnant, into her pregnancy 6 months. She's got a little John the Baptist in her. And as I just read those verses, when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, the baby, John the Baptist, hearing the greeting of Mary, the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and as a result, Elizabeth says what she does. And so Mary now, with all of this in her heart, we come to these verses where she just spontaneously worships the Lord. And, you know, some people say in these verses here, this is so well organized, her thought, and it's so structured, how could it be spontaneous? But they forget, back in the day, Mary and, young people, Jewish people, would go to these feasts, and they would often sing the songs of David, of Deborah, of Hannah. These would be very familiar songs. And it seems, if you compare Mary's song to Hannah, many centuries before, this woman who God also, she was barren in her womb and she cried out to the Lord and God, gave her a little child and Samuel. And her worship is very similar. And you would think that Mary, on her way to Elizabeth here for these several days to get there, has probably been thinking about this whole worship of Hannah. And now she's just overflowing with, she's been touched by God. She's so amazed by God, she's just overflowing with this worship. You know, we come on a Christmas day on 2016. Here we are in Christmas. And we're reminded of this in this young person, just this worship that's from her heart. And I, for you and I think this is a good reminder. She says in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Or another translation, my soul glorifies the Lord. And literally what she's saying is, my soul makes great the Lord. My soul enlarges the Lord. And, you know, that's an interesting, literally, my soul enlarges the Lord. Obviously, she can't make God bigger. He's infinite. She can't make him greater, my soul makes great the Lord. But what she is actually saying literally is God has been made greater to her. God has been enlarged to her. This experience that she's had leading up to what is the first Christmas, she's just been enlarged. God is so amazing to her right now that she just can't help but just declare these praises. She can't help but enlarge him because he's enlarged to her. It's literally what is happening. God is bigger to her. And you know, 2016, you know, here we are gathered for Christmas. And boy, this shouldn't be some humdrum, you know, sort of, you know, Christmas this year comes and goes every year, sort of humdrum. You know, it shouldn't be that. As Christians, I pray for you and I this 2016 in the same manner that God would be enlarged to us. You know, he can do that in different ways in our lives, but he can do it through his scripture. You know, he can do it through worship. You can be meditating upon what this baby Mary has, Jesus, what he does later. He dies and he rises from the dead, just the crucifixion and atonement, just the reality of how far God has gone for you and I. And all that means is our Savior and our Deliverer and all these things. You know, as that is enlarged in us, as our hearts better appreciate and see, you can tell a Christian this Christmas season where God is enlarged in their hearts. You can just tell. I mean, you just hear it when you're around them and in a very sincere way where they're just like, God, you know, thank God for that. He's been so kind. Or praise you, Lord, you're just with them and they just talk about, you know, God is good. You don't have to worry. He's going to take care of that. He's so good to us and the things that he does. I know you're struggling with that, but God really is faithful. You know, that's a Christian who God has been enlarged in their heart. And they're just, he's so big to them, you know, he's so magnified to them. And it just overflows, right? It just overflows in their hearts. You know, 2016, this Christmas, we look at this young teenager and the Lord, you know, the way he's revealed to her is amazing. And she can't help but spontaneously, just coming forth from her heart. I mean, God is so grand to her. She's blown away. She's thinking, God, if God can come to me and supernaturally do what he's doing, and I'm going to have a child that is also the answer to our nation, the Messiah, if he can do this with little nobody from no man's town, teenage gal, wow, what can he do in your life? What can he do in our culture? What can he do in the universe? You know, he is so grand to her because of the way he's revealing himself to her, that she is just praising and magnifying the Lord. You know, this Christmas 2016, you know, Christians, as you and I are here, the wonder of what Christ has done for us, it should be just a wonder. It should be a growing journey for you and I of just, God, I can't believe you're so faithful to me. God, I can't believe that you, it's true we have these trials, but it is true you do work them do good. God, I can't believe, you know, you've delivered me. You're changing me. You know, he is the answer indeed. And to magnify the Lord this Christmas, to magnify the Lord, may the Lord be enlarged in your mind, in my mind, and in our hearts this Christmas. May we be blown away with the reality of what he has done for us. May it really be a reality in our very being. You know, the psalmist, Psalm 34, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord with me, because he's magnified in my very heart and in my very mind. She breaks forth and she says, my soul magnifies. And then she says, and my spirit is rejoiced. My spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. Interesting. Verse 46, my soul magnifies. Verse 47, my spirit. What Mary is saying in these words, she's using these parallel terms because what she is speaking in her words is my entire being, my inner person in the truest, realest way. Mary, you know, my total self, I magnify, I praise the Lord. And that's worship, man. That's beautiful to heaven, isn't it? This young gal, my spirit, my soul, all of me, I am blown away by you, God. I'm blown away. Exclaiming these words of praise, these words of just, you know, worship. Remember Jesus, speaking of the time we live in, the time that started in his time that he brought to us. But in John chapter 4, verse 23, he says to this woman, the time would come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Speaking of the spirit of a man, not some religious rite, religious check-in, check-out for the holiday, a religious ceremony. The spirit, the total being, God, you're magnified, I worship you. And that is who he seeks this Christmas season, is men and women that are seeing clearly and growing in this knowledge and walk with him, and that they're worshiping him, spirit and truth. With all their lives and then there with their lips. You think of David, you know, centuries before, whirling and twirling. Remember there before the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the Ark there, and just whirling and twirling. He's barely dressed. People are even taken back. This is the king. But in a beautiful way, it's shown to us. It is a beautiful thing to heaven, because this man, just so free, King David, the king in front of all the people, whirling and twirling, worshiping his God, worshiping his God. You know, Charles Spurgeon, this preacher in the 1800s, that, you know, he's called often the Prince of Preachers. He was such a great preacher. But from a young age, if you study his life, he was a man that just adored and loved the person of Jesus. I mean, he just loved Jesus, just simply. And so, you read about him, and he once said this: I like sometimes to leave off praying and singing, and to sit still and gaze upward till my inmost soul has seen my Lord. Then I say, he is inexpressibly lovely. Yea, he's altogether lovely. Charles Spurgeon. And he was known to be that sort of person. He just loved Jesus. And so he says, I stop at times when I'm alone. I stop praying and worship. And I just, in my soul, I behold him. And this is, you know, the spiritual experience you could have. And he is inexpressibly lovely. You know, we come together, we worship on, you know, at Christmas. Here we are singing Christmas worship songs, and we worship at many times in this building. And that's one of the reasons why we do. He's worthy of our worship. But when we come together, it should even cause these little fires as we come together, a greater fire of praise in our hearts together. Martin Luther also once said, you know, this man of the Reformation in the 1500s, he said this: at home in my house, there is no warmth or vigor. No warmth or vigor in me, but in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart, and it breaks its way through. You know, he says there's times when I'm alone. I'm just dying on the vine, but I come into God's house, and man, am I warmed by the praise and love of people, and I begin to magnify my God. So important for us to come together. 2016, here it is, Christmas. May the Lord enlarge our hearts this Christmas. You know, it might be a lean Christmas for you. It might be a more lonely Christmas for you. You know, life is like that, isn't it? Sometimes the Christmases before, you know, because of the factors, you know, there was more going on. And here you come into this Christmas, possibly, and there's less people around. Maybe there's less resources. Maybe there's less of the other traditions, and whatever it might be. Life has that sort of way. But you know, Mary, this young teenager, is absolutely blown away and just overflowing with joy because of one person, Jesus, and God and what he's doing in her life. So it's true for you and I. It's true for everybody here. 2016, this Christmas, may our hearts be enlarged. Just may he be enlarged in our hearts. And may there be this rejoicing in our Savior, you know, hoping in what he's done, trusting in what he's done. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He saved us from our sin. I have heaven waiting for me. He's come. He's reached down to me. And just that hope and that rejoicing in who he is. David in Psalm chapter 35, verse 9 said, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." Rejoicing in the salvation of God that we've been given. You know, you do have times that are maybe a little bit more difficult, and you might be in one of those more challenging seasons in your life. But even Habakkuk speaking, you might remember the prophet speaking of a time where life is very difficult. This is what he says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, economic crisis, no job, no herds, no productivity, life is failing in the physical sense. It is a very difficult time, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Christmas 2016, my prayer for you and me is that the Lord would be enlarged in our hearts. That we would all the more appreciate who He is and what we got. Inexpressibly lovely is who He is. And there would be that magnifying in our lives as we go through and we spend the day we do today and the week we do at co-workers and Christmas gatherings and whatever it might be. You know, our Savior, our Lord, what has happened, what Mary says to her is also about herself is also true. She says these things about the Lord. But, you know, she's a nobody, young teenager in a nobody town. And yet she says, this is what He's done. He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. He has come to me. And He's regarded, He's looked upon me. And, you know, rejoicing in the reality, who am I? And He has come to me. And the way she expresses that, it's interesting if you go back to the worship of Hannah back in 1 Samuel. You know, this woman whose womb is barren, it is barren, and she is burdened because she is being despised because of the barrenness of her womb. It's a very challenging time. She's crying out there at the tabernacle. You might remember the story. But she refers herself in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. If you have the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the word is, she refers to her humble state. And it's the same Greek word that Luke includes here to give to express and translate what Mary said. When she says lowly, she's saying the same thing that Hannah said. Hannah in her barrenness. And what Mary is saying, in my barrenness, not so much, she's a young teenager, the barrenness of the womb wasn't significant yet for her, but the barrenness in life. Just a nobody from nowhere. Lowly maidservant, and He came to me. And He reached down to me and has revealed Himself to me. Isn't that true? That's what we're reminded of as we look at this manger, and we look at this baby in the manger in an amazing way. God, the Son, entered into human history. And if you're here today and you are trying to figure out the God thing and trying to figure out what it is to know God and if God, you know, all these sort of things, understand what the Bible teaches, what we believe as Christians, is what is recorded here. You know, a religion isn't going to get you there. Religious ceremonies won't do it for you. You can't climb the highest mountain. I mean, you'll never get to God is holy and you are not. The Bible says we're all sinners. And that creates a dilemma. Instantly, the moment I'm born, I am separated from a holy God. Isaiah chapter 59, it's even expressed by the prophet. It is not that He cannot hear me. It is not that He cannot reach me. It's not like His arm's too short. But He's holy and I am not. I'm in my sin. And He is in perfection. He's like a consuming fire in that case. So in the amazing way, what we have here, the only way, the only solution, a loving God, to deal with the fact that you and I are sinners, is He reached down to us. He regarded us. He came to us. It's the only way. God the Son from everlasting becomes a man. Enters human history. He's born supernaturally through a woman. God the Son and perfect Son of God. He goes to a cross. He's crucified. And the judgment of God for the sin of the world, the wages of sin is death. He judges His Son for my sin and your sin. And because He's perfect, sin and death cannot hold Him. He's delivered, He's resurrected, and now in Him, you can look upon what God has done. He's reached down to you. He's regarded you in your lowly state. And now if you look and trust in what He's done and you put your trust in Christ, He can forgive you because He's perfect and righteous. He's now provided the payment for your sin. And you can be restored to Him and you can have life. Regarded her lowly state. You know, remarkable. She's the humility here of the recognition of who she is. And humility, it's true. Humility is key. I mean, recognizing our true state. Prideful people don't go to heaven because they just, in their foolish pride, think that everything's just fine. Well, my lowly state, He's come to me, He's reached to me. And in an amazing way, the baby that she is going to give birth to is going to be the Messiah, is actually her Lord, and is her deliverer. And that later, this very one, Jesus, will go into a synagogue as a man. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he'll turn to the Old Testament, he'll read it in the synagogue, and this is what he says. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says, then He closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down. And all of the people in the synagogue were looking at Him, and He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of God is upon me, the Son of God. He's anointed me. I've come to the brokenhearted. I've come to the poor, the needy, those that are meek, those that realize, God, I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I've come to the captive to set him free. You might be here today and you got these struggles. You might be here today. You've got some depression. You might be here today. You've got all these discouragements. She is magnifying. God is so enlarged before her. She's giving birth to the Messiah, the one who's her deliverer. He is the answer to our depression. He is the answer to your struggle. He is the answer. He's the answer to your need. We think of Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, where at this great sermon, maybe it's the greatest sermon, the most renowned sermon in the world, right? The Sermon on the Mount. And He starts it this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And throughout the whole even nativity, we speak of God in a manger. Jesus in a manger, you know, the Son of God, the lowly maidservant. We see the humility. And that's it. You know, this recognition. I can't get there. I can't impress you, God. I can't achieve anything. You're holy. You're infinite. I need you. I need your mercy. In Psalm chapter 136, verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 138, verse 6, though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, says, you know, not many of you are mighty. Not many of you, he says, in this church, were the big deals in the culture, you know, are successful. A lot of you are the simple, and you're just ordinary people. But you know what? God has chose the weak of the world. The weak things to put to shame, the mighty and the supposed wise. He's done that, and He's chosen and saved and done this work in you and I. We come to Christmas 2016. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. How about you? Oh Lord, be enlarged in our hearts. Be enlarged in our minds. And that we would overflow as we're with the people we're going to be. And they would sense in this that there is this joy, there's this fountain of life in us because He has been magnified within me. Rejoicing, this joy of the Lord that is part of us. She says this, and this is the last part I'll just note here. She says, and all generations will call me blessed. Nobody, teenage gal from a nobody town, God has appeared in her life and worked in her life. She says, I am blessed by God. In fact, everybody, it's like a beatitude. When they say Mary, they're going to speak beatitudes. Blessed is Mary throughout through all generations. And it is true today in the West. From what I hear anyway, Mary is still the most popular, one of the most popular names in all the West. Little teenage gal, Mary. But she says, for behold. And the way she says it, it's like she's it's the words of surprise. She's like, for behold. For behold. They're going to call me blessed. Is what she's expressing in this song. The joy, the wonder of the things that God is mind-boggling to this little teenager. And you know what? You know what? She's got this. She's got the Lord in her, right? She's got the physical baby Jesus. And she's blown away in the blessing of God in her life. You know, it is true, isn't it? You and I gather here on this Christmas as Christians. Isn't it true that the Lord is in us? She has the physical baby. She is the physical mother of the Messiah. He is in her. The Lord is in her. But as a Christian on Christmas 2016, born again, the Lord is born into me. I have the life of God in me. And I may not necessarily share with him physical DNA like she does with the physical Jesus, but we have this spiritual DNA that we are, he is in me and I am in him. And so in the same way, she says, I can't believe this, blessed by God. And it is true for you and I, Christians, on 2016. You are blessed and I am blessed. You know, being the physical mother of Jesus, it is a remarkable privilege this young teenager had to be the physical mother of the Messiah. I mean, imagine later he's now a man or a young man going through life. And people would do this, right? This is what they do. They would be with Jesus and they would know her. And then they would see he would smile a certain way and they would go, you remind me of your mother. Right? Or they would look at her, his eyes or certain physical attributes of his, and they go, I see Mary. You know what I'm saying? That's what she would bear a physical resemblance, right? Because she was the mother of Jesus. And if you saw the physical Jesus, you might go, looks a lot like Mary to me. You know how that works, right? So, in an amazing way, people would see Jesus physically, and at times, he would remind her, he would remind them of her. Well, you know, the amazing thing is, it works the other way for you and I as Christians, that he is now in me. I have this spiritual DNA for me, and what is happening now is Christ is being formed in me as a Christian, Christmas 2016, and he is starting to live through me. And so as I go along as a Christian, people start to see in George Small, they're like, that's Christ. That's what begins to happen in us. This spiritual DNA starts to come through from him to us. So I might have been a hard man before, and now they're like, George has changed. He used to be the most vain, selfish dude I knew. You know, he's a nice guy. Something's changed him. Or he might, Joe was such a downer all the time, and I'm only using the name Joe. I'm not thinking about anybody. He was such a downer all the time, and man, he's just a cool guy. I really enjoy being with him now. I used to avoid him, or, you know, he was dangerous to be around. Now he gives to the community the DNA, the spiritual life of Christ, God born in me, living through me and changing me. It is an amazing wonder. You are blessed. As a Christian, you are blessed. You're remarkably blessed by God. These words that Mary says can also roll from your hearts and lips. Oh, I magnify the Lord this Christmas. Oh, my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his servant, and I am blessed in him. It is true. It is true. The blessing of the Lord, forgiven from our sin. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Speaking to the nation of Israel, but then to the church. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. There isn't much greater than that, than to be forgiven of your sin and to be turned away from a life of path of destruction and given the life of Christ within you. The judgment, the great white throne judgment that is coming, where God will judge the sin of the world. Christ has been judged for me. Because I have Christ in me, I will not stand at that judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, then the way it's described. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Blessed is that one over the second death. The second death has no power over him. but he is priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus saying, speaking of the future, you know, that separation where those that are his, he will say, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hey, we might have a lean Christmas this year. It might be a little different Christmas this year, or maybe it's one of the better ones physically. Either way, may God be enlarged in our hearts. May we magnify the Lord all the more. May we rejoice in our Savior, remembering He's regarded us, man. He's given us life. He's within us. He's living through us. All He's the solution to the discouragement. He is the solution to the struggle. Allowing Him, oh God, be enlarged in me, and oh God, live through me. Praise Your holy name. Worship You, God. You're so mighty and powerful and amazing. I read this song, the lyrics to this song. It's called You Are Blessed. It's written by Naaman Wood and Bruce Benedict. You are blessed. If you are poor and weak, you are blessed. God will give you His kingdom. If you lament and mourn, you are blessed. God will comfort all your grieving. If you are meek and mild, you are blessed. God will pour out all His riches. If you are starved for right, you are blessed. God will fill you with His goodness. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in your God. If you are merciful, you are blessed. God will show you His great mercy. If you are pure in heart, you are blessed. You will see the face of Yahweh. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in your God. If you are filled with peace, you are blessed. God will make you His own children. If you are pierced for good, you are blessed. God will give you His kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the song has this. For the strangers here, the refugees, hallelujah, hallelujah. To those who died for Christ, rejoice you persecuted, rejoice you martyrs in His name. You are blessed. You are blessed. Let's stand together. I'd like to just watch this video with you. We can stand and watch the video, and then the worship team will come up here and we'll conclude a little time of just worship as we go out. My prayer for you, Christian, and for myself is all the more, God, be enlarged in my heart. Be enlarged. Be magnified. Maybe you're here this Christmas 2016, just God's doing, you're here. And you know, you come through the door and you've been on some journey and you're looking for the answers. And I just explained to you what the Bible has declared all along. You will never get there. If you try to impress God and think you can reach to Him, your arm is too short. Your ear, you do not have the means to make yourself holy. But the whole wonder of Christmas, and then the other bookend when we come to Easter, right, is God reached down to you. And lowly in heart, you go, you know what? You come to those places in your life, don't you? You're like, you know what? I thought I was doing okay, and now here I am without my spouse. I really blew that and messed up that household. And I thought I was doing okay here, and now I got this debt. You come to these crossroads in life, and God even allows them. And you're like, I'm really considering what life is all about. What is it all about? Where are you, God? Are you there, God? Are you real? And we're reminded this Christmas, we look at a manger, and it is remarkable because it is the only way God entered human history. God came down to us. There's just no other way. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And God, the only way, the judge and the payment, you know, the atonement, He went to that cross. And there on the cross, we remember Jesus even said, my God, why have You forsaken me? As His Father poured out His wrath on Him for your sin and my sin. And He died. The wages of sin is death. And He raised to life because He's perfect. And now God says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Truth is, right here on this Christmas, you can reach out to God right now. He's reached out to you. You can open your heart right now, right here, right now, and you can say, I believe. I believe. I need You. I want You. Forgive me of my sins. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're Lord of all. Be the Lord of my life. I believe in what you've done through your Son. Save me. And those that call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. If you give him your heart, he'll take it. Right here, right now. Are you willing? Are you willing? Put your trust in the Lord. If you are, I'm going to say a prayer right now, and then we're going to watch this video. And maybe you want to say this prayer right here, right now. Maybe you want to commit your heart to Christ. This Christmas, 2016, he's given you a gift. Do you want to receive it? You can receive it right now. It's salvation and life. It's him. He wants to birth his life into you. Are you ready right now? Say this prayer. Ask him. I'll lead you in a simple prayer you can say. And just say this to God in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness of my sins. And I want forgiveness of my sins. I do believe that you sent your Son Jesus to this earth and he became a man. And one day he died on a cross. There you judged him for my sin. And he raised to life so I could have life. So this Christmas, Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd forgive me of all my sins. I do believe. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to follow you this day forward. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you just opened your heart to God truly and you asked him, he's heard you, he's forgiven you, you just received the greatest gift you could ever, the greatest gift in the universe is the life of God in you and forgiveness of sins. I'd encourage you, tell somebody you're with, if you've come with somebody, have somebody that you know is a Christian there now to be able to encourage you as you start this new journey. All things are new in Christ. And you're going to want Christians to encourage you and be there. Read this book. This is how God speaks to you, the Bible. You talk to him. That's how good communication. Him talking to you and you talking to him. And you're going to want to be in church. But tell somebody.
Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts can be contacted online at horizonfitchburg.org or by calling 978-665-9111. Our service times are 8:45 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays.